Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the MedAir Aviation Security Podcast. Again, my name is Ryan Brockhaus, and I'm the Aviation and Maritime Security Supervisor based in our Phoenix, Arizona office. Today's episode, we'll be covering recent escalations in conflicts over the past month. And if one follows current global events, you'll know that there have been a number of conflict escalations with potential major implications throughout the month of June. So to help us navigate through this discussion is Adele Dunlop, who is our senior security specialist based in our Dubai office. Adele, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Wonderful. And as we all know very well, Adele, it has been a busy time on the security desk, and we're seeing escalations in more than one region in the world right now. But the primary focus has been and still is the Middle Eastern region, but more specifically with Israel. So over the past few months, we've seen a pretty large increase in rocket attacks targeting the country, with many of these originating from Yemen, but more specifically by the Houthi rebel group. So can you tell us exactly what transpired over the last couple months and what events specifically led to this major increase?
So, Ryan, back in early May this year, statements were released through Houthi media channels to IATA, one of the big aviation agencies, and they declared that part of their campaign would focus on disrupting commercial aviation traffic in and out of Ben Gurion International in Tel Aviv. And since the announcement, Houthi forces have increased the frequency of their attacks against targets in southern and central Israel with ballistic missiles, which have caused some disruption to airport operations. But whilst this has not fully resulted in a full closure of the airport or the airspace until we saw the recent escalation with Iran, the disruption and increase in frequency has led to MedAir raising their aviation advice to defer all operations to the airport and avoid overflight of the Beirut flight information region. But when we discuss the increase in frequency, we're not necessarily talking about the number of missiles in one particular volley, rather that there has just been an increase in the overall number of attacks. And a tally for April, there were 4 attacks. In May, that spiked up to 19. And so far, we've seen 21 in June. Whilst it's true to assess that most of the missiles are aimed towards Israel, and there may have been an element of their accuracy focusing in on their intended target of Ben Gurion International, the reality is that most of these missiles were intercepted before entering Israeli territory. However, it's important to note that the interception of these missiles can often result in debris causing damage on the ground and in and around the airport environs. Obviously, this is a grave concern, and this has often led to a longer disruption and holding of traffic in the overhead airspace whilst defence forces on the ground clear the areas of any debris. And on occasion, these missiles have gone undetected by the now infamous Israeli integrated air defense system. And this has either been due to a low trajectory or an error in the detection system, leading to it being classified as a direct attack within Israel.
Okay, yeah, so that's really interesting. It's also interesting to note that steady increase, particularly in May and June, with the number of Houthi attacks. So clearly a cause for concern. And you and I both know that many clients are inquiring about these rocket attacks, but also particularly as it pertains to the potential operations to Ben Gurion International Airport. So as you mentioned before, what is our current advice for Ben Gurion now and the Israeli flight information region writ large? And then what are we looking for when it comes to advising for maybe a possible resumption of operations in the future?
So it's with all of these issues in mind that we maintain our MedAir aviation security advice to note that any operations to Israel should be considered a high risk, and at the moment to defer all overflight and operations to Israel and its airspace until further notice. We advise any operators to closely monitor developments in the region, as well as all airport and airspace NOTAMs. It's really through this system that we're getting information with regard to air traffic procedures, any restrictions, bulletins, advisories and prohibitions for the airspace, but more importantly, monitor the MedAir portal for developments. Realistically, we're always looking at this area. We consider operations high risk, but clients are able to reach out to us. If operations are completely necessary, we can offer some mitigation advice.
That's some great insight, Adele. And it's also, as you pointed out, important to note that our current advice isn't merely just us using our scanning techniques or our scanning expertise, but we're also looking at other NOTAMs, other restrictions that have been imposed by other international governing aviation bodies and other advisories. So we're taking really a holistic approach with our advice, really for every region, but particularly for the Israeli airspace. So nevertheless, let's go ahead and shift gears and talk about the current situation in Ukraine. So now we've seen Ukrainian drone capabilities evolve in this conflict over the last three years and some plus months, but also an increase in inventory on both sides of the conflict. And I think this is reflected particularly in the increase in incidents that we've seen of drone incursions deeper and deeper into Russian territory, primarily over the last few months. So can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Absolutely. So just for the listeners out there, as we are doing, obviously, in the Middle East, we're still really closely monitoring the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And all of the listeners should be assured that even if things aren't necessarily reaching the headlines, this is still very much an active conflict for us. So of note, from an aviation security viewpoint, our concern is the disruptive nature of the drone attacks spreading across Russia now, with many of the attacks having a consistent range of Moscow within sight. So the MedAir team had previously spoken in this podcast about the carpet plan, which is often implemented by the Russian Aviation Authority. And this is often invoked when the drone threat is perceived and can last on average anywhere between 1 to 4 hours. For the domestic airports within Russia, sometimes a longer flight restriction, where we see a temporary cessation of flight operations, doesn't often cause a significant disruption due to just their limited flight schedules. However, for the airports that facilitate Moscow, this is of a greater concern. So we're talking about the airports at Sheremetyevo, Vunakovo, Domodedovo and Zhukovsky, all within the Moscow province, that have experienced several flight restriction events due to the drone, actually either a drone attack or the threat from drones.
Right. And we had seen in May, but particularly in June, where MedAir aviation security had released a lot, or I should say issued a lot of aviation alerts regarding these airspace and flight restrictions, as you mentioned, primarily to those four main Moscow airports. But there was also a very high profile Ukrainian operation recently. And that involved the destruction of, well, by some estimates, 30, maybe even more than 30% of Russia's strategic bomber force. This was an incident that was briefly touched in our last podcast with Pierre, again, for just like a minute or two. But now that we've had some more information come out over the last few weeks, can you give us a little bit more info on this event?
Yes. Noticeably, Ukraine launched Operation Spider's Web on the 1st of June, and it was assessed to have been 18 months in the planning. It involved in excess of 110 drones attacking five bases in what was definitely perceived as a coordinated event targeting the Russian long-range aviation fleet. Russian media sources reported that some of the drones had actually targeted dummy sites and were trying to play down the overall effect that it had had. But the media gains from the Ukrainian side were widespread, with particular emphasis on the fact that many of the launch locations of the drones had actually been facilitated by moving the drones in on lorries into the Russian heartland to then conduct the attack. But conversely, even though this was a major attack and a great propaganda campaign from the Ukrainian side, retaliatory attacks by Russia against major cities across Ukraine continues unabated. And we've seen that through May and June, really not being affected even by the major operation from Ukraine.
Right. And that's an important note to have as well, that this didn't really, in the grand scheme of things, set the Russians back in terms of their capability and capacity to, you know, launch these continued almost nightly attacks into Ukraine from Russia proper, but was, in terms of the operation itself, very successful. And we did see plenty of video footage, drone footage, with, you know, the cameras attached to them, where they did hit a number of Russian bombers throughout the entire country. In fact, I think there was one operation where it went thousands of miles, almost near a base that's near the border with China. So it really showed kind of how the reach of that operation took place. But so taking all of these events into account, though, what is our current advice regarding operations to Russia?
So MEDEAR still maintains its aviation security advice for Russian airspace as follows. So to expect flight disruption following any temporary restrictions and any residual delays to the affected airports, even after normal operations resume. So it's important that clients reach out to their airlines as most of these attempt to clear the backlog of flights. So if there are any residual delays, please be aware of that. Still, to defer overflight and operations to airports within 200 nautical miles of the Ukrainian border. If flights are required in other parts of Russia, operators should try and plan for short turnaround operations. Operators should also follow all directives officially issued by civil aviation governing bodies in relation to any reciprocal operation prohibitions between Russia, Canada, the EU, the UK, and the US and other countries, and ensure that adherence to all sanctions related policies that may affect flights. These can be very individual to certain countries. And then really prepare for possible logistical challenges, including limited aircraft maintenance and external on the ground services.
That's some great insight. And thank you very much for your time today, Adele. I think this information is likely to be very helpful for clients or anybody who's listening to this podcast, especially for those who are trying to navigate through these increasingly uncertain times. So that does it for this month's AvSec podcast. For our listeners, once again, we thank you for joining us today and hope that this discussion was as informative for you as it was for us. And as always, stay informed, stay vigilant, and we'll catch you in next month's episode.